Hello and welcome to Butts to Nuts, a movie review podcast hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother, Scott Charlesworth.
Yo.
Oh, Scott, how you feeling after the movie?
We are back, baby.
Yeah.
Up top.
We're back.
Slap me some skin. Why don't you fill the people in? Tell them what you've been through in the last 2 weeks.
I probably sound still a bit blocked up because I do have splints up my nose.
Plastic splints.
Actually, no, you know what would be more entertaining? If you just said what surgery I went through and how, from your point of view.
Okay.
As if you had what I had.
Damn. Okay, well, being...
Yo, Scott, what'd you go through? What surgery, bitch?
I had my nose cut up and one of my nasal cavities drilled or something. And then the bone on my nose thinned. Is that a word for it?
Probably.
Yeah?
It's your surgery now. So it's whatever you want it to be.
Okay, I'm just looking at your nose right now and I'm loving it.
Quick, everybody, pause the podcast. Actually, no, keep the podcast rolling and just quickly look at your phone and have a look at my nose.
Yep.
All right, 3, 2, 1. What do you think?
Oh, wow. That's quality, man.
The messages are coming through on the phone.
Yep.
We can't answer all your calls, but we'll try to get through as many as
possible. We'll get to you soon, chat. Just kidding. We're not actually streaming.
Yes, we are. We're on Rumble. We're live on Rumble.
You silly duffer.
You know, that's now like the second highest app that's been downloaded.
Rumble. I've never heard of Rumble in my life.
Wow, you know, saw that Andrew Tate business and they're like, whoa, he's banned on everything, but he's not banned on Rumble. So everyone's going to Rumble. Bloody hell.
Rumble. I've never heard of fucking Rumble in my life.
I tell you what, my bloody balls were rumbling after this movie. Notting Hill.
My choice this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. We choose movies.
Now, this is the thing. We haven't done a passionate romance movie yet. This is our first one. 50 Shades doesn't count. That's just fucking softcore porn.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Ooh, no, but we 50. Need... I'm a man of romance. I'm a man of romance, and I'm a man of British.
Oh, okay, you limp dick sod. Oh, you're such a soft cock. You see, I love Sylvester Stallone, action explosions,
fucking
and Linkin
gunning
Park.
It down, mate.
I love Linkin Park, bro. Where was the fucking Linkin Park in this movie?
What I've done.
Bro.
Is it 2007, what I've done?
This movie would have easily got a 10 if it ended with what I've done.
With
or
Sylvester
did it get
Stallone.
A 10? Oh, no, okay, wait and see. Oh.
Yes,
leave that pause in. People will think that their things just awkwardly stopped. We're back. Sorry if I've... Yeah, so do I sound a bit nasally?
You're fine, man. Like, you do sound nasally,
I do.
But you should embrace it because this is your life.
This is my last ever episode of being nasally, they say.
Who knows? You might stay nasally after. We don't know if the surgery's worked or not.
We're on a 20,000 episode contract, so we have to do this for 20,000 episodes. We signed a deal with the devil.
You're going
to
be hearing Ben's voice like this for the rest of our podcast.
Can I start with this about this movie?
You absolutely can.
There was an amazing quote. Someone said, in life, you know, this is when they were in that guy's restaurant, which was fun that they mentioned him at the start in the montage,
yeah.
Saying he put all his life savings into it. And then a year later, they're sitting in his restaurant and it's like, oh, I fucking failed. I felt for that guy.
Yeah.
There was a lot of hard feelings in this movie.
There were.
And the lady in the wheelchair said, sometimes in life things work out, sometimes they don't. We just don't know why. Bit like this podcast, just doesn't work out. We don't know why.
it'll pop off.
Yep, maybe.
You know, to the people who are listening, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
You know, we're all about creating art and having passion. We are passionate about movies.
Yeah, we are
and
artists.
It's a little extreme to call us artists, I'd say.
We're artists. You play the bass guitar.
I draw pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
You do creative writing.
Yep, and dance. So we are artists.
Right, I'm going to hit you with a little synopsis.
Oh, that's right.
Synopsis time.
Okay. Do you want me to put a British accent on for this?
Yes, please.
I just went Kiwi a little bit there.
Yeah, please.
No, I can't do it. William, a British bookseller, meets and falls in love with Anna, a high-profile American actress. However, their relationship goes through many problems due to their different social statuses. See, I feel like I could have found a better synopsis.
I think the shitter the better when it comes to synopsis with what you're delivering.
Yeah.
Because it makes it more like, wow, you know? It makes me feel, wow. It makes me feel
like I've...
like my dick's the size of a peanut.
I like that because it's that was a quote from the movie.
But now I've made myself sound like I've got a small penis. Spike is the perfect character.
Oh, yes, Spike, man. He's just like that comic relief that you need in something like this.
Now,
he's absolutely fantastic, isn't he?
What's your favorite Spike shirt?
Three
shirts at the start.
Definitely the last one.
Yeah.
Because
you don't remember the other two.
What was it? What was the first one? It was blood, something.
Yeah.
It was the blood
Taste
one.
Taste My Blood, and it had an alien coming out of it.
Yeah. And then the next one was the arrow pointed down his dick, and he's like, get this down here or something like that. Yeah. And then the last one was, I think you're the most beautiful woman in the world. And then he turns around and is like want to have a fuck or something?
Yeah, what a fuck is that?
Want a fuck, yeah.
Want to have a fuck.
Something like that. Yeah. Anyways, class shirt.
That is the best shirt.
Yeah. And we're going to be saying class a lot in this podcast because it's British time.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of good British stuff. Whoopsie Daisy. Darth Prick. lots of buggers.
A lot of buggers.
A lot of buggers and lots of bloodies. Like, we like to hear that. I think we've watched a lot of American films, so to hear some good Whoopsie Daisies,
it really brings us back to our childhood, I would say, because a lot of this language.
We're British.
Obvious. No.
Yeah. We're from Yorkshire, and Scott actually wears a Peaky Blinders hat all the time.
Yeah.
And he loves being British. You love.
I even have a razor blade in it to be that authentic.
You love black pudding.
I do, yeah. I like other. Roast dinners.
Yes, you love roast. Roasting a dinner.
I fucking do.
I walk in on a Monday night, all right? I've just come out from the greenery, and you say, mate, I am roasting a dinner. I go, why roast it, Scott? It's going to take 3 hours. You go, oh, fuck you.
We're going to put
fuck
the effort
you,
in. Cunt,
because I'm making I'm roasting this dinner. Oh, wow. I don't know what it's in the dinner, but he's fucking roasted it. It was beautiful.
Oh, yes, but Spike, though, let's get back onto his topic because he has that T-shirt scene, which is absolutely fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And then we have the other really great Spike scene, him walking out in front of the press in his undies.
Oh, yeah.
And posing and shit, and then looking in the mirror, it's like, oh, yeah, I got my grey jocks on.
Girls love the grey. nice butt cheeks.
Yeah.
What did he say about his cock?
Oh, I don't know.
He shows it up. Yeah, he grabbed it.
He just grabbed his package.
He's got a pretty good spike there, doesn't he? He's got a pretty good spiky package. he doesn't have anything to be ashamed of. I think he's got to be a very happy guy.
He's a man that I would aspire to be.
Yeah, he's got those pointy nipples.
The pointy nips.
Pointy nipples and a spiky penis. What do you think of the chemistry between them?
I thought it was fantastic.
And Julia Roberts and Hubert Grant.
Hugh Grant.
Yeah, Hubert Grant. What did you think about it?
I thought their chemistry... I think I wrote something about their chemistry here.
Fucking read it.
Wow. Fuck, where is it?
I liked them together.
Yeah.
I thought they were quite splendid.
It felt really natural.
I'm trying to feel.
I don't know.
I'm trying.
Oh, I know
the
it
hardest.
Is here. Oh, this is basically what I wrote. Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts had such a natural chemistry together. It really felt like they were in love. That's the detail I put into that.
Yeah, it did.
It felt like really natural.
Well, it's because of all of Hugh Grant's like little
mannerisms and things,
offhandedness and stuff, and then her. Yeah, they're just little subtlety like things.
I think both of them in their own right were did some very good top notch acting.
Very genuine.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt realistic. I feel especially in what was it? The garden scene when they jumped over the fence to go into the private garden.
Yeah.
I liked that. I thought that was like... Oh, there was... I don't know. There was something about that scene that felt pretty special in that point in their relationship. It was like, you know, the perfect end to the night before, you know, they went home and saw the boyfriend that came from America.
Yeah.
But like that was the perfect end of the night. And it was just... beautifully shot as well in the garden with Yo head shots.
That was good.
Things.
That was a really nice shot. There was also a really other nice shot we'll get to, but
anyways, yeah, but that chemistry was like peak at that point.
I think something you've got to be careful with as well with movies is when you have like a nickname for someone, it can usually come across as like a bit cringy, but it was good in this movie. Flopsy,
yeah.
And sometimes they make it into a thing. It's like, fuck off with your little turnip or something like that. It's like, no one cares that you call him little turnip. Just fucking call him Bernard. Like, we don't care.
Bernard.
Bernard? No, it's Little Turnip.
Little Turnip.
Little Turp.
Yeah, that was a kid we used to call him Little Turp. That's another story. Wonder if he's listening. Joel Turpin.
Just outing him on the podcast.
Yeah, he was in my year 7 class and then he moved states. Oh, no, he wasn't in my class. He was in my cohort.
On your Little Turp.
Yeah, on
your Little Turp. You're doing us proud. Nah, you're doing us bloody proud. All right, I want to talk about Julia Roberts. She does a great job at showing the stress of superstardom.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was quite interesting. You know, like, she is very well put together for most of the movie, but at those little points, she deals with that in different ways.
Like, word. Tell me.
So, obviously, when the guys in the restaurant are talking about her rudely, mm-hmm. you know, and then she deals with it that way, it has like a kind of mini outburst, but not too much. It's just a natural retaliation.
Yeah, she wasn't going to say anything, and then he said something. Which, good on him.
Yeah, standing up.
Imagine if you did say something.
That was bloody True Blue, that.
Exactly. That was True Blue our Hugh. That was a True Blue Hugh.
True Blue Hugh.
Yeah.
But then also the scene when Hugh Grant goes out the front of the house and sees all the paparazzi and Julie's like, yo, who's that out the front? And just walks out, and then she has her meltdown when she comes inside.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool, because, you know, it would be a stressful thing. People say, it'd be easy being, like, famous and an actor, but it's not a natural thing for a human to go through, I think.
No.
It's weird how we elevate people to this status and how people obsess over other people.
Or like the porn thing. But it wasn't a porno. What was that?
It was a scandal because she did some photo, like probably some sexy
naked photos for someone.
Photo shoots.
Someone filmed it.
Yeah, and then it looks like a porno,
yeah,
basically. But that's the thing that, you know, people need
to... Pretty sure it's the special features, but we didn't watch it on the DVD. So, you know, Netflix, that's the problem these days.
I think that also showed how hard of an industry it is to get into and to crack it.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in the 90s as well, where this...
Now even, bro.
Actually, yeah. Just all the time.
All the time,
It's just forever been that way.
And the media... whilst I'm going to get a career in the media, but like... They are. Like, they... Sometimes they're just fucking vultures just swarming on them.
I think there's a difference, though, because you get good media that respects people as people, and then you have, like, the... What is it? The extra sort of...
Yeah, Entertainment Week. ET. What's that? Entertainment Tonight or something today.
You know, like the trashy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't respect them. They just see them as, pieces of our pop culture.
Your People Magazine, your ETs, your SBS. They're all just...
your SBS.
But you get what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of their dialogue as well, how you said it was very genuine.
Yeah.
And the acting was great. Even like in that sex scene before the sex, there was like a part where it was like, wow, what? Nothing. Like just three boring words, but it makes
so much sense though.
Yeah, it just felt very genuine.
That was, yeah.
Do you think there's any travel bookshops like in today's society that still exist?
Oh, yeah.
It's a niche back then. But even now?
Now, no way. No way. That would be completely out of business. And especially after COVID, who is going to buy a travel book now?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Everyone's just looking it up on the phone and they would have definitely gone out of business. I don't know. There's definitely travel books around, obviously.
Obviously.
But no shops anymore, I don't think.
No dedicated travel book shop.
You might find one in Luxembourg or something.
Yeah, true.
To other parts of Europe because they are like the center of that Europe area.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
I've heard of Europe. But yeah, it's niche.
I love the initial reaction. Interaction, sorry.
Yeah.
Between them in the bookshop. Just the bookshop bit I'm talking about, you know,
the kebab talk, that was pretty classy too. I think what's great about that scene is it's just, You can see that Julia Roberts is like getting, well, her character is getting more and more interested throughout the scene in Hugh Grant, but it's still subtle and it's not like giving too much off.
Well, you could say that. Obviously, I'm a blind boy. I'm like, oh man, come on, love him. Obvious signs.
No, but there's like little hints. Like, yeah, obviously, at first she's kind of like whatever, and then a bit annoyed, but then it kind of evolves to the end of that scene, and you can tell there's a little spark there.
Yeah,
it's so subtle, and that's what that chemistry we're talking about.
That. Yeah. You feel the spark. It feels genuine between them the whole time.
Yeah,
Does it feel not genuine for you ever? Is there any points where you're like, oh, come on?
Is it disingenuous? Yeah, is that the word.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the word.
Does it ever feel disingenuous?
I don't think I was ever taken out of it. So no.
I reckon the first kiss was a bit weird. That was a bit strange.
Actually, I disagree with you.
The whole time I felt really warm and fuzzy, but then the first kiss, I'm like, oh, nah, don't give me hope. That's not going to happen.
You think it was too quick, sort of?
Yeah.
Thing.
Well, so quick.
Think about this, though. That was quite a spur of the moment thing.
I know.
I find that quite realistic because in real life, there's not always a build up. Sometimes things just happen and it's not as romantic as you want. And then the rest of the movie is like that build up sort of thing.
Yeah.
I personally disagree with you there.
It's like, don't give me hope though.
Yeah.
It's too much hope too quickly.
Tearing your heart out already.
Yeah. Then I'll be sad.
You felt for Hugh Grant.
I did. I don't know. She forgot her bag. Do you reckon she forgot it intentionally?
I think it was a mix of both. Oh, excuse me.
You reckon
it's a mix of both.
What do you mean a mix of both? How like, can you forget and not forget? No one has that ability. That's stupid. I reckon, now you're disingenuous.
I reckon Julia has that ability.
You daft prick. Give me a point.
Oh, bugger.
Give me a point.
Well, Hugh Grant.
God, you're slow today, aren't you?
Oh, man. No, yeah, man. I'm running on fumes. I'm fucking running on fumes. He has this very likable awkwardness about him with his humor, the sarcasm.
It's a bit like you, but he's likable.
Oh! Yeah, that was a burn.
You wanker, you daft prick, you sod.
Fucking sod. No, but like he's also a true gentleman. Like, these are the qualities of his character that he's kind of cut and copy with a few movies. He's played that same character, but he's like the pick for the 90s. He's the romance man.
He will hold your door.
And he will make the smart comment that's kind of like a bit self-deprecating, but is a bit of a, you know, a win back to make people laugh. You know?
Yeah. Awkward wittiness is just so great on screen.
It is.
From him. Yeah. It just translates so well.
It's masterful. And it's something about the British humor. That's what it is. It's that British delivery as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
brings it across. It wouldn't work if it was Australian or American. Like, it can be pulled off, but to the same effect.
Different dialogue. I mean, different. Yeah,
it would be accents. It would have to be written with different dialogue.
Yeah. Exactly.
Obviously. Like, to fit a different character. But yeah, the way that he delivers his lines, it's just stellar.
It is.
Yeah, really cool.
Out of her movies, in the movie,
oh yeah,
she's an actor. Which one would you actually like to see?
Superman.
I know, I feel like this is an interview, but I've just got a lot of questions.
Okay, so when I first saw the site, like the posters and whatever
there
for
was
the
Helix?
Sci-fi. Yeah, Helix, that was the Helix. Sci-fi movie. What was the second one?
There was a submarine one that we don't see, but she's reciting lines for where there's like a nuclear attack.
And then there's the Downton Abbey one.
Yeah.
We'll just call it that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to see Helix.
Yeah,
I
was going to say.
Because at first I would have said no, but when we saw the footage of her in the spaceship and it was like the shot of it kind of rotating around. That was very 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah, I know.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah. You loved that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd see that one.
I thought it was pretty sick. Okay. One scene in the movie that we have to talk about is with her initial meeting of the family.
Yeah.
And that whole dinner table scene that leads into the brownie scene.
That is the highlight of the whole film.
It pretty much is. It's the best scene in the movie, I would say. It's specifically the brownie scene.
The brownie scene's really sad.
Yeah, but I love like the progression of the whole thing, right? Like she gets in there, it's awkward, and they're all individually realizing that she's a superstar.
Yeah,
and they all have these unique reactions. Birdie
realizing way after.
Yeah, and he's like, "Holy shit!
I got away with it when she's in the bathroom." That is the best line. The whole thing.
I think I got away with it. Yeah,
when he's clearly just saying, "Oh, what? Yeah, you probably only make $8,000 a movie, don't you?"
And Hugh Grant's sister,
Hubert Grant, please.
Honey, played by Emma Chambers.
Rest
in peace. Yeah, she was on Vicar of Dibley too.
Vicar, please. Cowboy.
Vicar of Dibley.
Rest in peace. Wonderful woman, wonderful acting.
Yeah, awesome. But yeah, her reaction to it was hilarious. I loved her. She was like the obsessed sort of fan, and that was another side to it all.
Yeah.
And who was the wheelchair lady again? Bella.
Yeah.
By Gina McKee. Yeah, I thought her reaction was cool too, because it was just like kind of chill and like, yeah, whatever. It's, you know, whatever.
Yeah, she was trying to be composed.
Yeah, but probably inside going, holy shit.
When they walk out, they all just scream. Oh!
It was a really good...
You would do that though. Imagine Florence Pugh just like came to one of our family dinners.
I would just be like, man, just...
If I brought Florence Pugh as my date, probably wouldn't happen.
You know what I would do?
What would you do?
I would shake your hand, and I would shake her hand, and I would say congratulations to the both of you.
And then you'd say, hang on, you're in your 30s and you're dating this 17-year-old boy? That's frowned upon. And then she'd get kicked out, and I'd be like, no!
You can only dream.
Exactly. That's my movie.
And that's why we have dreams.
It's called Scotting Hill. Yeah, it's coming to Netflix.
How about that? Julia Roberts' character has the name Scott in it too, Anna Scott.
Bro!
I was instantly like, yeah, best character, there you go.
Fuck, that is nuts.
Crazy.
It was really sad. Talking about
Brownie scene, let's get back to that.
Yeah, yeah. Talking about as well, what was his best mate? Hugh's best mate, okay. Max?
His name, I got
Max.
It all here.
His name was Max.
Max, yeah.
When he said that she could have a baby.
That was heartbreaking.
Yeah, that was actually really sad. From car accident?
I don't think it was a car accident. I think she slipped down the stairs and broke her spine.
Fuck.
I think that's what Hugh said.
Even like Birdie's whole arc, the guy who didn't pick up Hugh Bonneville. Or Bonneville, sorry.
Oh, yeah, Bernie.
That's
yeah.
So embarrassing.
No, no, it's fine. It's okay.
Hugh Bonneville.
Back off. It was a slip of the tongue. I've just gone through nose surgery, and I am nasally. I've got splints up my nose, stitches in my septum.
He was in Paddington.
He was in Paddington.
And Paddington 2.
And Paddington 3, coming to a cinema near you.
Shit, yeah. But yeah, no, that was heartbreaking. Actually, all their stories were pretty heartbreaking.
His job was he was a stockbroker. He got fired like a couple months down the road as well. All his mates get promoted, he doesn't. He's just a joke to them all.
That's it. It's like the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. Life just hits you hard.
Hugh's, ex-wife and that, leaving him. Just him just sort of working at a travel bookstore.
Yeah.
What else? Who else? What was
Honey.
Oh, whoops.
Oh, that was probably my phone interfering with the cables just then.
Jesus.
I'll keep it over this side.
Yeah, right. What was her thing? She just said that she looked funny and stuff.
Yeah, she was self-conscious and couldn't get a boyfriend and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the whole resolution to that scene as well, when Anna told her story, well, Julia Roberts told her story.
Yeah.
And like, then they were kind of like all laughing it off at the end, even though it's like sad what she went through too as an actress.
Yeah, I felt that's when you really started to relate to her character, because the other ones are so easily related, relatable. That's what makes this movie so great.
But she brings like the actress and the actor experience down to a grounded level.
Yeah.
It's like it's such a perfect point, because you suddenly go, okay, she's just a person.
It's like there's this great big movie theater, like great big movie theater, it's like, oh wow, that's like the life of an actor. But then you look behind it, and then there's like all the bins in the alley, and it just stinks.
That's right. Yeah,
there's always a dirty alley.
That's right. You've hit the nail on the head, I tell you.
Who do you reckon deserved the brownie though?
Excuse me.
I reckon. What's her name?
Bella.
Yeah, Bella.
She deserved the brownie.
She deserved the brownie.
100%. Yeah, but definitely
Hugh gobbled it up. He nibbled it up.
I'm gonna fight for this brownie. I'm gonna fight for this brownie.
I don't know why he got it. His wasn't. I mean, he was kind of sad.
Yeah, he was kind of sad.
She can't have a baby. That's pretty sad. another right. Fuck you. You go.
Yeah,
mate.
I'm gonna fucking take over, mate.
All right.
I'm gonna fucking take over.
Like Julia Roberts took over my heart.
Oh. When they all piled in the car as well.
Oh, yeah, they just piled on each other, eh? The car.
Yeah, they fucking piled on.
Oh, sorry. Special features again, mate. You fucking missed it. We watched this one on Netflix, so Scott did get to see the juicy bits.
That's right. I had to be censored whenever the sex scene came on.
Well, the movie was actually 3 hours in the final edit. They had to cut like 90 minutes out. So you don't know. Maybe they did pile
really?
On each
other. Really? They cut 90 minutes out of this movie?
They did.
Wow.
Yeah, could you imagine a 3-hour version of this movie?
You know what? No, I don't think I would want that.
Me neither.
Because this was sweet enough.
Exactly.
I almost think...
It was the sweetest pie.
This is a little criticism for me. I almost think it was just a slight bit too long. Just a little bit. Only by like 15 minutes or so.
Okay. Do you think that it was too long because something happened 3 times that it was like, oh, I'm with Julia Roberts, now I'm away from her. I'm with her, I'm away from her. I'm with her and away from her.
Possibly.
It did happen 3 times.
Yeah.
It was entertaining all 3 times. However...
Repetition can get a little bit repetitive, literally. Yeah.
Yeah, because the first one was the boyfriend.
Yes.
Second one was... the paparazzi and then her having a meltdown. So, no, I can't be with you. This is crazy.
And then the third one was in the travel bookstore. And then that's... Well, that was the difference because he ended at that time.
I reckon...
It's like he stopped chasing her.
Yeah. And then he's like, fuck. Last one's needed. Other two are also... I don't know.
That's why I appreciate you bringing that up because all those parts are valid in improving the story. But yes, the repetitiveness brings it down just a little bit for me.
Yeah,
just
fair.
A little bit.
All right.
But in saying that, it fucking works.
It does work.
And it still pulls your heartstrings.
Oh, fuck. You're getting pulled off by the heart.
Yeah, I am. Do you remember that little heart character in... Sorry, I'm...
Ricardo.
Ricardo from Adventure Time.
Adventure Time. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting pulled off by him.
Fuck. One can dream. the end scene was sick. I love Spike directing traffic. That was great.
Yep.
How
about the end scene, though?
What end scene?
Like when they're...
pregnant.
Pregnant. Together on the bench, together in the park again.
Yeah, that's pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
That's happy. Good times.
That's sweet. Whoa. That was a sweet time. That was a sweet moment.
I don't know. I'm not a fashion guy, but I didn't like a wedding dress. I thought it looked like...
It looked
canvas.
Like tent canvas.
Tent canvas or something.
I think she's
wearing
right.
A tent. Fuck's going on there?
You never know. It's Hollywood. It probably was from leftovers from the Met Gala or something.
Yeah, leftovers from Matrix Resurrections.
Oh, but my favorite movie.
Even though I think that was after in 2001.
It was.
3, actually.
Matrix Resurrections was the most recent one.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. No, that was in 2003.
No, you're talking about Matrix Revolutions.
No, I'm not.
No,
I'm talking about Matrix Revelations.
What? I don't think there is. There isn't a Revelations.
I'm talking about Matrix Reloaded with the Dreadlock Boys, the Ghost Dreadlock Boys.
Damn, they were fucking weird, weren't they?
Second biggest highlight of this thing, the interview.
Horse and Hound. Horse and Hound.
Leonardo DiCaprio is that famous Italian director. The directors, the writers could have just cut it off right at the part where it's like, oh yeah, you have to do the other interviews now.
Yeah.
Like most movies would, but they gave us the joy of seeing him go through the torture of the other ones.
I really appreciated that a lot. That was good for Hugh's character to like shine on his own in those parts and interact with different outside people in the business as well.
That was sick.
Yeah, yeah. Other actors as well. You know what? I was half and half with the soundtrack. There are a few tracks that were played in here that were a bit sappy and cheesy.
Garden one, especially.
The Garden
Not
one.
By The Garden, but the one in The Garden.
Good band, The Garden.
Showed up in one of our social media posts. Try and find it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a CD by them.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, wow. You didn't see that one coming, did you?
Oh, man, we're bloody all
you
over it here.
Losers. Give us a 5-star review.
Get better. Yeah, but...
Yes,
the music highlight, though, of this movie was...
The Clash.
Bill Withers.
Bill Withers. Oh, yeah, true.
Ain't No Sunshine.
Just the Two of Us.
What a tune.
Just the Two of Us was probably the best song in this.
Just the Two of Us.
Yep. You Spin Me Right Round. Hooked on a Feeling was good in this.
Oh, you fucking...
More Than a Feeling, My Boston was also in this. That was weird when, like, Julia Roberts turned to Hugh Grant, just started, like, busting out a move and then singing More Than a Feeling.
Fucking hell. You know, some people are not going to register your sarcasm here.
Well, they're fucking idiots. yeah, that was great, the interview scene.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Beautifully shot all round, I would say.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That scene when Hugh was walking through, like, the township at the start.
Oh, no, at the start.
And then the next one over the months.
The CGI one.
When it was going through all the months and the, like, winter and summer
that
and
was
stuff.
Really clean. That was really clean.
It was nice. It was.
It deserves a whole
pleasing.
Nug for that. A whole nug is dedicated to that scene.
Absolutely. Really colourful and lots of different palettes going on.
That was gorgeous.
It kept your eye really entertained, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it was... It's the sort of stuff that you see in more arty sort of movies, so I appreciate that they went the extra mile to do that.
Something that bugged me was...
Oh, fuck.
Julia Roberts' character drinking.
Drinking.
There's a scene...
You have a drinking problem.
No. There was a scene where she's in the Downton Abbey movie.
Yes.
And she's talking about Hugh Grant. She said, oh, he's
I know exactly what you're going to say.
And she drinks the bottle, but she puts her lips, like, over the thing.
Like a fish.
She doesn't drink it properly.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just the character of Ada Scott, or maybe that's Julia Roberts.
It's Julia Roberts.
Oh, God.
Obviously, it's Julia Roberts.
How do you know?
Because...
Maybe she's acting.
Actor.
Yeah. Acting
no,
for
no, no.
Hubert Grant.
That's like a day one thing you're learning as a baby. You know, you learn how to drink.
You learn how to drink out of a bottle.
Yep.
What are you doing, mate?
That's right. We're...
You drink out of a nipple, you drink out of a bottle.
Same thing.
Exactly. You don't put your lips over it, you put your lips to it.
Hang on a second. No, but with a nipple, though, you do put your lips over it.
Not how I do it. At least that's not
You're a half lip. You're a half nipple lipper.
Recently, I've been half lipping.
Okay, well, that's interesting to know. And do you get milk all over your face, or is it like a controlled...
Milk? What do you mean,
we're talking
milk?
About breasts, right?
Yeah.
Well, and drinking...
Milk? What do you mean?
Milk come from breasts.
What? No. Milk doesn't come out of breasts when I'm doing it. Well, you try and get milk from women's breasts.
What the fuck is happening?
You try and get milk from their breasts. Oh, you're fucked.
You're fucked, cunt. I need a shit now, actually.
He tells Ada to sod off. That's funny. What do you think? Oh, mate, then they have sex. Alec Baldwin's in this as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not trendy good.
So. Oh, yeah. You know what? I'll say I'm glad that they made the choice that Alec Baldwin wasn't in much of the movie, because he plays a good dick character, but I think that character being in it for too long
would have tainted it.
So he was in it for just the perfect amount of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Alrighty, I think I'm about there. Any final comment before we get into trivia time?
Yeah.
I love this movie's energy, and it felt like a true classic, a true feel-good classic.
Yeah.
I love the energy. That's my final note.
I'm ready for some next things.
Trivia time!
Yeah, trivia.
Julia Roberts was the one and only choice for the role. Exactly. She when she read it, she said it was the best romantic comedy script she had ever read.
Yeah.
And she said, without a doubt, she was going to do it. They didn't think she was going to do it, but she was the one who they wrote it for.
They were like, bloody hell, Jules.
Because, like, Pretty Woman came out 9 years before, and they were like, yeah, we know she can do this shit.
Yeah.
So she did it.
You know what? They got the two powerhouses, and they brought them together.
During the birthday scene, Anna Scott is asked how much she made on her last film. Her reply is $15 million. This is the amount that she was actually paid.
Oh!
For the movie. Yeah, didn't see that one coming, did you?
Damn, you would never need to work again after that.
Maybe
these days you would, but...
The bit where Jesus. Anna Scott tells off the diners in the restaurant was not in the script, apparently.
Really?
I don't know what... So she just...
So that whole interaction.
The peanut dick comment. Must have been.
Just, so that was just off the cuff.
Must have been.
Pretty impressive, I would say. That was pretty good.
And many of the shots of Julia Roberts used in the opening credits came from the show Entertainment Tonight, 1981.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Not just from a 1981, though. That doesn't make sense. It'd be through the 90s, not the 80s.
Yeah, shots. Surely.
That's
a bit of misinformation there, I'd say.
Yeah, but definitely from entertainment stuff. I thought they'd recycle and get stuff, as if you wouldn't.
It's the perfect opportunity to, honestly.
Yeah, you gotta smarter, not harder, mate.
Ah, that's right. That's bloody right.
Shall we get to some Letterboxd reviews?
Yeah.
Ellie says, Hugh Grant rambling about apricots in Honey is the high point of cinema. It's all been downhill from there.
Yeah.
5 stars.
On you, Ellie. That's fucking... On the point, on the money.
Good apricots, you know.
Yeah, I love that scene too. And then, yeah, that's what she said too in the scene. It's like it was downhill from the apricot scene.
Yeah.
So that's kind of meta, in a good way.
Minik says, so like his bookstore only sold travel books? That's got to be the worst business idea ever. 2.5 stars.
Yeah, literally though.
That is a dumb idea.
It'd be a better idea. I mean, coming to the late 1990s, well, specifically 99, that is a bit of a bad business idea. But if you were in the 80s doing this travel book store, not so bad, I think.
Yeah.
Look, I know it's not going to be the most popular thing in the world.
Hit your markets, mate. Go hit for your markets, everything.
Yeah. I think it's where you strategically place it too. They are in London, and there's a lot of people traveling in and out of London.
Yeah, but you would put it in some country town.
The best place to actually set that up, though, would be near an airport. Now, that is where your business will boom, I tell you, my friend.
But if this was in Heathrow, it would be boring.
Yep.
Because it'd be like a terminal. Terminal. Owen says, Hugh Grant has made me buy 4 stars. So, wow.
Yeah.
Anya, maybe he dropped a star because he didn't want to be bisexual, or maybe he gave the star because he loves Hugh Grant.
Yeah. Now, he is a heartthrob.
Exactly. Yeah. Scott, please, give me your NUG score.
You know what? I've mid-changed my NUG score throughout this podcast.
Yeah.
And it was originally going to be a 7.
Wow, that's low.
But I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 NUGs.
I'm right on with you.
Yeah.
8 out of 10 dogs.
Oh, bro, we're just too bloody good.
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast.
If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these 3 things.
Number 1. Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number 2.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number 3.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.
Butts to Nuts.